right, everybody, welcome back to the Spartans, Wolverines, and Beards podcast. You've got me, Lane. You've got Jordan.
Hello.
And we are back for another week to talk some sports.
Pain and suffering.
It's not good right now, man.
Well, basketball season has started. That's been pretty good for both sides so far.
Yeah, so far. All I can say is a little spoiler. Welcome to becoming a basketball school, University of Michigan.
No, we're a hockey school.
Oh, okay. Okay, I forgot.
We've officially abandoned both sports. We're just a hockey school now.
It's not bad, though.
The hockey team's pretty damn good this year.
Hockey team's very damn good. With that, I just wanted to say thank you guys again for tuning in to us for another week. If you guys have not yet, of course, you know what to do. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Drop us a like. Make sure you rate us on Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, basically any of the major streaming services. And then also, if you guys haven't yet, it's the season of giving, so why not give Watershed Voice a chance? Take a look at them for all things local news for St. Joe County, Michigan. I believe you can get them, if you get a yearly subscription, for as low as $6.50 a month, which that's pretty damn cheap. What do you say, Jordan?
Yeah, that's quite the bargain.
Yeah, it's quite the bargain. I think tomorrow might be the last day if you subscribe, which would be the 9th. You get entered in for a $25 gift certificate to Lowry's Bookstore, which is downtown Three Rivers, which if you're a sports guy, plenty of sports books down there, interesting reads from some notable athletes. But with that, I guess I will go ahead and preview our show today. We're going to talk some college basketball, recap the past week that was MSU and Michigan basketball. Pretty good weeks, as Jordan alluded to earlier. We're going to recap last week's absolute butt-kicking of Ohio State coming into East Lansing. Michigan didn't play. And then we're going to talk about the real breaking news for the game, which if you're not familiar with the game, is Michigan against Ohio State.
It's not really the game anymore. It's just a game.
We're going to break that down, talk a little bit of what maybe the future of Michigan football looks like. We're going to break into our pick'em. Spoiler alert, Jordan has got a commanding lead as the season winds down.
I believe I took my first L.
I think you did.
Last week, though. We tied. I'm looking right now as we're doing this. Tied a couple times. Oh, I did lose. No, that was it. Yeah, last week was my first L.
So, see?
You're making a comeback.
The tides are a-turning. And then lastly, we'll break down some Lions football. Surprising victory in Chicago. Took another last-second comeback, but hey, it happened. And then we'll close this puppy up for the week. So with that, Jordan, do you have anything, or do you just want to start rolling into college basketball?
So the one other thing I was going to mention for some people – and we're hoping at least you're tuning into this to hear local sports stuff. And obviously, given recent things, we still have shutdowns throughout the state for any local high school sports. We promise as soon as that picks back up, we will pick back up on it. It's just right now, obviously, with the state of things, there's no local stuff, no local sports to talk about. Everything we heard from MHSAA says they want to have three seasons, so they're still talking like they're going to attempt to complete the football playoffs and the disc volleyball playoffs and everything. So if that resumes, we'll give you that. If not, when basketball can pick up, we'll get back onto that. It's just we're all in a state of waiting right now. So rest assured, you will have more local sports from us just whenever we can get back to it. So
yes, absolutely.
We surely hope football, because look, when we left off, we had a couple local teams here that were making a pretty good push for a state title. So we're hopeful. Fingers crossed.
Yep, absolutely, my friend.
So with that, I think we can probably get right into the week that was in college basketball and kind of a brief look ahead to the week that will be for college basketball, which is as everything else in this world, is shifting with the weather. let's start with Michigan, because I think Michigan State probably had the bigger week. So we'll give them the recap, or the end tale of it, I guess. So Michigan last week, Ball State and UCF, both victories in pretty convincing fashion. Two different types of victories, in my opinion. Ball State game was a game that, after the snoozer they had against Oakland, where they should have probably lost, they came out, kind of asserted themselves early against a much lesser talented team, and really dominated that game from the tip. The UCF game was a little more interesting, because UCF is they're actually a pretty talented team. They have some five-star transfers who have come in. I know that C.J. Walker transferred in from Oregon, was a five-star recruit. So they have talent. They had another guy that flirted with the NBA draft last year. So, I mean, there was some talent on the roster, and it showed early. I mean, UCF came out and out-hustled Michigan, and they had a 12-point lead at one point. And then some bench players, mostly Hunter Dickinson and Terrence Williams, came in and effectively took over the game. I mean, there was during the stretch of the game, Michigan went on a 63-19 run. I mean, that's not really a run. That's like a stretch of the game, I guess. But
right.
it just kind of shows like the tide, how much the tide changed at about the 10-minute mark of the first half. Michigan really locked in defensively, and they got great performances from their bench. There was another stat, I believe Brennan Quinn from The Athletic put out on Twitter during the game, that at one point in the game, Michigan's bench was beating UCF. It was 43 for Michigan's bench to UCF's 41. And that was UCF's total team. So pretty impressive performance from the bench. And the thing I take most out of this is the depth of this team. Juwan Howard is having no issue running 10 guys out there and feeling confident with it. And that's a great problem to have. I know John Beilein was always a coach that wanted to be 7-8 players, didn't really like to get too deep. But when you got 10 guys that you can put out there and you trust, that's good, because if you run into foul trouble or somebody gets hurt, you've got next man up that's ready to go that you really fully trust. So a good week, I would say, for the Wolverines. I'd give them an A- B+ rating for the week. Some things they still need to improve on defensively, and I think also they need to improve on being locked in from the jump all the time. They seem to be a little complacent at times, but that'll happen early in the year, and especially in a COVID year where nothing's really normal. So, all in all, solid performance from the Wolverines this week, but that does pale a little bit to what Michigan State did. So, the headliner with Michigan State, obviously everybody knows, they went to Duke in a fanless Cameron Indoor, but it's Cameron Indoor nonetheless, and beat Duke 75-69. I watched the first half of this game before I went to sleep, because I get up at the butt crack of dawn. And all in all, it was really, really ugly to start with. I mean, Michigan State was turning the ball over. They couldn't hit a shot. Duke was just jacking everything up left and right. I mean, both teams looked horrible. And then I couldn't tell you when, but at a certain point, Michigan State really ratcheted up the pressure defensively. Guys like Rocket Watts and Aaron Henry really controlled the tempo of the game and the energy of the game with their defense. And that's a staple of Michigan State. I mean, they always seem to have guys that can really get into the game and take people away. And that effectively, that's what happened. So Michigan State had a decent little lead and then kind of pissed it away late and made it closer than it needed to be. But I really have a lot more questions about Duke after that game, because they really ran no offense. I mean, it was go down the court, dribble, jab step, step back three. Like, and Michigan State was just completely content. Like, yes, please keep shooting these shots because they're horrible and we'll just grind it away. And that's what they did. So, good win. I mean, no doubt the best win in the conference so far this year. But the more concerning thing, I think, was the next two games that followed against Detroit and against Western Michigan. Games where in the past, Michigan State would just, like, completely drown these teams. They really didn't. They were slow. I mean, Detroit, they went 83-76 in a game they were favored by like 28. Like the spread was massive, and it just they didn't seem to have that same energy and fire. And obviously, no fans at Breslin, and you come off of that big win at Duke, and there's bound to be a letdown. But it's just that's not very common for a Michigan State team, and I think it goes back to what we talked about last week, where I think they're still trying to find themselves a little bit and figure out their rotation, because they have again 7-8 guys that are playing. And I don't think that's what Izzo wants. I think he really wants to get into like his core 6, 7, maybe 8 that he can rely on. And I think right now nobody's in that bottom end of the bench is really asserting themselves as saying it's my spot. So I think it might be a situation where Izzo's throwing him out there and saying, okay, sink or swim.
Yeah.
And you know, this is the time of year to do it, and it didn't affect them too much. They get the win against Detroit, and then Western, it was just kind of a drudge of a game. They win 79-61, so, I mean, the score is pretty lopsided, but, again, what little bit I saw of it, it just looked sloppy. They looked disinterested. There wasn't a whole lot of fire and aggression in them. So, ACC Big Ten Challenge is this week, so Michigan's game, unfortunately, was canceled with NC State due to COVID stuff at NC State, and they have rescheduled a game with Toledo, which will take place Wednesday, tomorrow. So when you listen to this, this result may be out already, or you may be watching the game while you're listening. Who knows? But 6 o'clock tomorrow, Michigan plays NC State, and Michigan State has a big one tomorrow night, 9 o'clock, the primetime game at Virginia. Anybody that knows Virginia basketball knows it's probably the most boring basketball to watch.
That's not going to be a fun game to watch.
No, that game is going to be that's going to be awful. I mean, you talk about Michigan State's strength is probably playing defense, and Virginia always plays defense. So I think this might be a situation where the first team to 50 wins.
Oh,
and that's just not a fun basketball game to watch. It's going to be a tough one for State, though. I mean, Virginia's good. There's a big mismatch for Michigan State. Virginia has a 7-foot center, and his name is escaping me right now. But that's something that Michigan State doesn't really have, is the size to bang with that on the block. You know, in the past they had Xavier Tillman, who could pretty much guard any big. They don't have that luxury, so it'll be interesting to see how they handle that situation, because that's something they're not really equipped to match up with. So those are the big games this week. Michigan State's got Oakland also, and Michigan, I think, has maybe Penn State this weekend to start Big Ten play. Honestly, don't remember off the top of my head, but Wednesday's the first game, and yeah, Michigan has Penn State Sunday. So Big Ten play starting. We'll get to know the real deal about these teams. We'll find out who's legit, who's pretenders and contenders really, really soon. We just hope that all the COVID stuff stays away from basketball so that we can have a kind of an unaltered season, as we've seen football's been kind of ravaged lately for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and to answer your question, you are correct. You have Penn State at 2 p.m. on Sunday.
Yeah, so I don't know. I talked a whole lot right there. Do you have anything, any ideas, thoughts, comments you want to throw in there on that? Or
No, not really. I mean, like we've said on prior casts, I'm not really the college basketball guy. I mean, that's undoubtedly you. but, I mean, just staying – I mean, keeping a little bit of tabs on Michigan State, I really do agree with what you have said. Izzo's really playing 8 or 9 guys. Like you said, he's really trying to get to that core. And luckily it is early enough in the season. They are a good enough and deep enough team that they can handle doing that and doing these early auditions. Cause I mean, just looking over the Big Ten schedule starting in a couple weeks, I mean, it's not easy. They got Wisconsin on Christmas Day. They follow with Iowa. So, I mean, they've got it again. It's going to be a situation, especially with COVID. These teams got to figure out who they want to be and what their identity is pretty quickly.
Yep, and it's going to be beneficial, like we said, to have that a little bit deeper bench, with the COVID stuff. So,
yeah, I'm a little optimistic. I'm excited. I'm optimistic about both teams.
The Big Ten's going to be good this year. Mm-hmm. The Big Ten is loaded for sure. Iowa, Illinois, Wisconsin, Michigan State, Michigan, Rutgers, Maryland looks better than advertised. So it's going to be a fun year in basketball, no doubt.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, and it's really same for. I mean, for what goes for college football goes for college basketball as well. And that is, if the Big Ten is good, then, I mean, that's good for college basketball. Because this could be another year where you look at a boatload of Big Ten teams that could get into the dance. So,
sure. Which I think they're going to do everything in their power to make sure happens.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think the sponsors are definitely going to make sure that happens this year.
I don't think college basketball can survive another season of not having the tournament. There's just so much revenue in the TV deals of that. If they don't have a tournament this year, I think if it gets to a point where, I'll put it to you like this, if it gets to a point where this season starts to slip down the same slope as what football is doing, they will shut down the entire season and pick the tournament teams and put them in a bubble 2 weeks early.
Yeah. Well, that's what they're
doing. Before they let the tournament not happen.
Yeah, see, and that's what they're doing for the actual big tourney, is they're doing basically a giant bubble, aren't they?
Yeah, it sounds like the state of Indiana.
Yeah, see, it sounds like the whole state and city surrounding Indy, so.
Yeah, because it might have been Dockett, somebody put on Twitter that the Indianapolis area had access to, like, 8 gyms that would fit for tournament games and up to 15 if they went to high schools.
Man, that'd be...
And, like, Indiana basketball, high school basketball, that's, like, the mecca of high school basketball. Mm-hmm. And there's some historical high school gyms that would be absolutely awesome to see some tournament games played in these gyms. I mean, there's not going to be fans anyways.
Right.
So why not embrace the atmosphere and not be in a 10,000-seat stadium or whatever? Go to the little high school gym and let them play. I mean, that to me would be
cool. Oh, yeah. I mean, you're making lemonade out of some lemons right now, and I think that would be incredible. I'm all in.
What's
for
the
that.
Point of playing, you know, what's the point of playing the Final Four at Lucas Oil Stadium or whatever the heck it's called, Bankers Life Fieldhouse or whatever, if there's no fans there?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You watch some of these NFL games and there's like 8 people and it's all like, you know, people working. It's like, it doesn't have the same feeling. So why not, you know, lean into it and embrace it and use the atmosphere that you can have that could be pretty cool.
Yeah, I like it. NCAA, if you're listening to this, it was our idea first to give us some of that revenue.
Well, I don't know if it was our idea first. I have heard it in a couple other places, but hey, we'll take credit.
We'll take credit.
So, I think that's probably enough of college basketball. It's going to be an exciting season. We'll see how things progress here in the coming weeks, though.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
So, with that, we'll take a quick little break, I think. We'll come back, recap what little bit of football there was, and do our pick 'em, and then have a little Harbaugh discussion.
Sounds good, man. Let's do it.
All right, everybody, welcome back from our little break. We are going to dive into the college football week that was. Not really a whole lot to discuss, but Michigan State getting their pants taken off and Michigan just doing what they need to do and take a nap, because that's the only thing they're good at right now. So I think first things first, we'll throw it over to Lane to talk about the Spartans and the Buckeyes.
So, again, we're going to play the Spartan Wolverines and Beards edition of who do we get this week? And this week we got the absolute god-awful Michigan State Spartans, god-awful Rocky Lombardi. I mean, to quote Dennis Green, they are who we thought they were. But... I mean, Ohio State was down 23 players this week due to COVID, illness, injury, all kinds of stuff. And they just couldn't get it done. 52-12. Justin Fields was Justin Fields. Continuing to make a case to be the Heisman this season. It was just an all-out effort. I mean, hats off to Ohio State for being that depleted, going on the road to I would term them dangerous Michigan State team, and they just came in and took care of business, just flat out all out effort, out hustled, out everything Michigan State. Unfortunately, Lombardi did get hurt, which meant it was Theo Day time in East Lansing, and when Theo was in there, they moved the ball, and they moved it relatively well. I believe Theo's stat line wasn't the best. I think, let me look here. Or not Theo, Peyton Thorne. Good Lord. It's been a long week. good Lord.
I couldn't even correct you because I don't think I watched like more than the first 5 minutes of any football this week. Besides the Mormons versus the Mullets. I got in on that.
I get in on that action. No, I apologize, guys. It was Peyton Thorne, not what I was saying. It's been a long week. No, he came in 16 for 25, 147 yards passing, 31-yard touchdown run, 42 total yards rushing on 9 attempts. But all intents and purposes, they were a lot better of a passing team even with him in. So I think it's time to give Peyton Thorne the keys and let him drive for a while. You're not making the Big Ten title game. I mean, right now I think you're lining up against Minnesota in cross play. And Michigan State did what they did, but I think now's the time if you want to give Peyton Thorne the opportunity to run the show, let him. Because he's going to be your future. This is a young team. Let them grow. Let them bond. Let them get a rapport with each other. And then let's see what we get for 2021. Ohio State, I mean, what can't you say about the team? Not a lot of programs can come into a school down 23 players and absolutely beat the brakes off another team. And that's exactly what they did. Ryan Day knows how to coach a team, knows how to recruit. It's going to be interesting, needless to say, what this next week looks like for Ohio State. I think Michigan State, we go on to play Penn State this week, which what is that going to look like? We'll see. We'll talk about that in the pick'em. But I mean, my prediction of a three to a four win season is still on the table. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Overall, like I said, Ohio State, they are who we thought they were, and they've got their eyes focused right now on some bigger games, which might not happen. So with that, I don't know, Jordan, do you want to roll into some pick 'em? Or unless you got anything.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the whole Michigan situation first. Yeah. The Michigan-Ohio State game's canceled. That was announced here today just a couple hours ago. Not a surprise. It sounded like Michigan had 40-some-odd players with positive tests or in quarantine due to close contact. So, I mean, given all the regulations and everything, it was going to happen. You're not going to find this Michigan fan crying about it. We didn't need to see another 50-point drubbing to know that Don Brown should be fired. I think the bigger talking points right now, and it's even less now because of what the fallout of these press conferences, but Ward Manuel, Jim Harbaugh met with the media here just a little bit ago, just wrapped up, and basically Ward Manuel came out and said they won't discuss Jim Harbaugh's contract situation until after the season. That's horrible on so many different levels, because the recruiting early signing period is next week, the 16th. And you already have a ton of recruits like questioning, you know, is he going to be around, blah, 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 what's going to happen? All you're doing by even coming out and saying that is you're just crippling. You are handcuffing this team so bad in recruiting. You either need to say, yes, we're getting a negotiation done, he will be our coach, or it's probably not going to happen. We're going to move on because you're just killing recruiting at this point. There were all kinds of conflicting reports that came out that said that an offer was made and then the offer was lowballed. And then somebody said, well, Harbaugh leaked this to try to get a better deal. And somebody said, well, why would he do that? Blah, blah. It's just the media circus around this whole thing is just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. At this point, I'm so confused from reading different boards and different channels and different Twitter personalities and insider this and source that, I don't even know what direction to go. I don't even know what direction I want them to go anymore. I think I want Harbaugh to stay and clean house, but I don't even know. It's just so confusing at this point.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, we've talked about it. I mean, we're Michigan State's obviously a program that has undergone some serious overhaul in a very limited amount of time. But I mean, the parallels are. I mean, granted, Michigan recruiting wise is light years better off than Michigan State was, and we've talked about that. But I'm still saying, man, I think the parallels are there. The parallels are there that you've got a coach that nobody really knows what he's thinking. Nobody knows what the school's thinking. And you're just, unfortunately, you're leaving his players in limbo.
And you have an AD that went, like, Warren should have said nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to say what he said does nothing but create more doubt and concern.
Mm-hmm.
Because now it says we're not even going to discuss him coming back until after the season. So now you put in the head of all these kids that, well, maybe he's not coming back. He's been telling us he is, but maybe he's not. Maybe the school doesn't want him. It's just, and there's so much confusion now. It's just,
yeah,
it's ridiculous.
And you go back, and I mean, you go back to a similar situation. Say Harbaugh does call it good in college. And like you said, he very well might be tired of the recruiting grind. He wants to go back to the NFL. So say he, this entire time, he's saying, I'm not going. You look at a few years ago, which is in our backyard, Kalamazoo with Western Michigan, and you had Fleck tell his team, I am dedicated to you. I am not leaving. And then the Minnesota job comes open, and poof, he's gone. And then that left a horrible taste in that program's mouth.
Right.
No, granted, Western Michigan is no way, shape, and or form the University of Michigan. But, like we said,
it's the same principle.
Like, if he's going to go, like, just there needs to be transparency with your players. And maybe that's happening, and we just haven't heard. But I find it very difficult in today's day and age with social media that that's not the case.
Yeah, I know. All they've done is just throw a blanket over this whole thing, and it just makes it more and more confusing. And we said with the D'Antonio thing, every day that this goes on, all it does is hurt the program. There's no benefit that's coming to this. Like, at this point, what are you waiting for? Like, you said the end of the season. So, yeah, technically they're supposed to play the 19th, but let's be honest, is that really even on the table right now? Like, if you have 45 players in COVID protocol for quarantine, how many of those people tested positive? Like, that's 21 days by the Big Ten standards. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like, it doesn't add up to me. And the fact that Ward said that almost makes me think that he's ready to move on.
Yeah, I would agree. And I mean, there's a job right 45 minutes down the road that he's being linked to. So,
and you know what? There's two things that I've been warming up to in this last week. One is, if Jim Harbaugh's gone for whatever reason, I'm warming up to Matt Campbell. The more I read, the more I look at, the more I watch, the more I understand. Just, I watched Iowa State look impressive again last week. They're in the top 10. I'm warming to the idea of Matt Campbell coming to Michigan. And then the other thing is, I'm warming to the idea of Jim Harbaugh going to the Lions.
Oh, don't say that.
But just think about it. Take out the bias of the fact that he's a Michigan guy. And you look at his track record in the NFL and the success he was able to have with quarterbacks far less talented than Matthew Stafford. And you have a team that showed some heart in this last week, which we'll talk about here in the next segment. But doesn't he kind of fit that? Doesn't he kind of fit what that team needs? Just that calming force, that calming presence to just guide them in the right direction? Doesn't that seem like what the Lions need?
Yeah, and I mean, and we'll definitely talk about that calming presence because that's something I'm definitely going to be discussing this next segment. You know, it's, you don't see too many coaches make the jump, especially head coaches, go from college to NFL to college back to the NFL. So, I mean, that would be an unprecedented move. I mean, like I've said before, and which we'll get into it later, at this point, I just want to win. So, I mean, if it's Jim Harbaugh, I can get over the Michigan bias and we can go. But I don't know. I don't know. We'll talk about it in a little bit.
Okay, we'll get there. So that's enough Michigan football talk for now. Nothing's settled. We don't know anything. Nothing's going to get settled. There's no reason to keep beating our heads about it because, let's be honest, there's probably a half a dozen people in the entire world that have any idea what's going to happen. because Jim Harbaugh's circle is so small that nothing he doesn't want out is coming out. So if it's not Ward Manuel, his secretary, Jim Harbaugh, his people, nobody really knows. So we'll find out in a couple weeks. Michigan's team sucks, so it doesn't matter. They're going to – I just hope to God we don't play Nebraska and get beat, because I don't know if I can live with Scott Frost shaming. So
it will be it will not be a happy Christmas in the Eggleston household if that happens.
Hell no. I might resign for a season.
The elf on the shelf is gonna hide.
Yes. So all right, let's dive into the pick 'em here for what we have left at least. So far, only one game canceled: Michigan, the Ohio State game, as we have already alluded to. So the rest of the schedule, as of right now, at least unless I'm missing something, is still on. So we'll go time order. So we have noon Saturday, Rutgers at Maryland. A Rutgers team that's looks pretty inspired. A Maryland team that looked bad, looked good, got COVID, don't really know. They haven't played. Let's see, they got canceled last week because of Michigan. They got beat by Indiana in a close one and canceled versus Michigan State. So, yeah, this team hasn't played a ton. I think I go with Maryland.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think there's a difference maker, and that's Talia Tagovailoa. So, yeah, I'm going to go with the Terps in this one.
Okay. I guess, let's pause here and go back. I should have recapped the wins and losses. Should have.
What are you doing? So
Lane did get his first win last week, going 3-2. I went 2-3 with the two cancellations. Brings the season total to Jordan's 27-14. Lane is 22-9. So given a couple big weeks here, he could make a push, but it's going to have to be a lot of differences and some big wins.
Bowl
here,
season. So. Bowl season.
Yeah, we'll see. Next noon game, Minnesota at Nebraska. This is just kind of a yuck game. I hate Nebraska. Nebraska is kind of the Michigan State of the West. You know, one week they show up, look good. The next week they show up and lay an egg. They look pretty good last week. So I think they lay an egg this week, and I'm taking the Gophers.
I'm taking the Gophers too, eh?
Yeah, the Minnesota Golden Gophers. Yeah. Next noon game, Illinois goes to the Big Ten West champion, Northwestern Wildcats. This is a game where they will drive about half an hour, as both teams are Chicago-based. Northwestern, far and away the better team here. Illinois had some moments where they look pretty good, but I like the Wildcats here. It's going to be ugly. Low-scoring game, but all Northwestern games.
Yeah, and let's give a shout-out to Pat Fitzgerald for turning around the fortune of Northwestern football. Last year looked god-awful, and then this year, Big Ten West champions, COVID or no COVID, that's impressive.
Let's point this out. This is 2 out of 3 years that they've been Big Ten West champions. Yeah. One thing we said before the season started was that this season was going to tell you a lot about what teams have established an identity and a culture and a brand, because the teams that were prepared and everything, this wasn't going to affect as much. And Northwestern has shown
that. That's a very good reminder out there, because you have seen the teams that are a little more tumultuous, a little more turnover, player personnel turnover riddled, and we've seen that. So yeah, with that though, I'm taking Northwestern. I don't even think it's close.
Okay, let's go to the 3:30 slots. Wisconsin at Iowa. This is going to be your good old-fashioned Big Ten football game. You know, both teams are going to line it up with two tight ends and a fullback and put their hands in the dirt. It's going to be 3 yards in a cloud of dust. Bo Schembechler somewhere is very proud of this game. Saying all that, I like Iowa.
All right, and I am going Wisconsin. I need to make up some room.
Yeah, I just think Iowa is very Iowa this year. They don't make mistakes. They're just going to grind it out and wait till you make a mistake. Wisconsin looked kind of mistake-prone last week against a good Indiana defense, so I'll take
all right,
guys. Next game, Purdue at Indiana. Like I just mentioned Indiana without Michael Penix last week against Wisconsin. That defense plays. Those guys play for Tom Allen. I'm going with the
Hoosiers. Yeah, I'm with you. I think Hoosiers roll.
Yeah, there's something to be said about that. I mean, those guys just show up and play for Tom Allen. And then the last game, Michigan State at Penn State. I saved it for last so you could kind of give us your little rundown.
So, I mean, as you guys have listened, as we've all seen, neither team is stellar this season. Penn State, a lot of COVID leave, a lot of NFL turnover. Michigan State, Mel Tucker, what kind of team are we? We've played up to competition. We've played down to competition. I think with Peyton Thorne, I think it's a new identity. I'm going to take Sparty in this game because I had this as a game at the beginning of the season, if you remember, that I had them winning. I don't think that changes, but I anticipate this one being a shootout.
Yeah, I got Penn State right here. I think they started to look better since the Michigan game, and I think they start to play a little bit more towards their potential. I got the
Nittany Lions. So we got two different this week.
Yeah, because you got Wisconsin, and then what? So what are we calling this? This would be then Dr. Jekyll week, right? Or is it Mr. Hyde week for Michigan State? What's good? What's bad out of that?
Well, they played up, so it's going to be – we're going to go Mr. Hyde because they're just going to be destructive and they're just going to tear shit up this week. So,
okay.
So we'll go with Mr. Hyde.
We'll see. You can gain two more and try to make a comeback here. Or I can
bowl season, baby.
Yeah, you're really –
that's all I got, Jordan.
So, yeah. Alrighty, well, with that, wraps up college football. We'll take another quick break and come back and talk a little Lions. Alrighty, everybody, welcome back. Little breaks are good. We all have to rest our vocal cords, take a drink of a beverage, get your mind right, transition, go to where we need to be, get to your happy place. When you grow up in Michigan and sports fans in this state, you just learn how to get to a happy place sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, talking about that, Lee, let's go to your happy place and talk about the Lions.
Well, that actually is it's a good happy place this week because the Lions pulled off a road victory against an NFC North foe, which is something that Matt Patricia couldn't do in 3 years.
Which also just ruins a draft pick.
We'll talk about that. So if you watch the game, I mean, obviously the first thing you saw is that the Lions were actually, it seemed like they were actually having fun, this past Sunday. As I said, they beat the Bears 34-30, seemed a lot more energized. It seemed like, a Daryl Bevel led team, I don't know. It feels like they just shed a huge anchor off of this team this past week. A lot more smiling, a lot more joking. They seemed a lot more fired up. I listening to the broadcast, it said on a Saturday night, Bevel had a team meeting and said, look, like, let's go out and let's just have some fun. And that's what they did. And they came away with a big victory. Romeo Okwara had a huge game, also causing a huge turnover to give Matt Stafford another comeback victory.
Because of course I picked up Trubisky and the Bears defense in fantasy thinking, oh, it's the Lions, they suck, and then all that had to happen.
Right. but they end up coming back, winning the game, and they're already 1-0 under Daryl Bevel, in which – interesting enough, at 5-7, if I were to tell you that they're one game out of a playoff spot, would you believe it? Well, they're one game out of a playoff spot.
Which is sad because if they were in the NFC, what is it, East?
East.
Oh, they'd be leading it.
Yeah, they'd be leading it right now, which it's.
They'd almost have it locked up.
Yeah, almost. Which it's very intriguing because these next five games, or next four games, actually. They play Green Bay this week. I believe they have, is it, let me pull up the schedule here. It's Green Bay this week. I think they have Tennessee next week. Yeah, let's see here. Yep, Green Bay this week, Tennessee next week. The 26th is Tampa Bay, and they close the season at home against Minnesota. all of which are, as of right now, playoff teams. If they were to, it's an interesting concept, and it's an interesting situation where this team's at. Because we said last week, and I was strong against it, that if they go 5-0, they'll give Daryl Bevel the job, and that'll be it. You know, I somebody pointed out on Twitter, and it's a very good point. If they go 5-0, that's against, they get 5 wins against playoff teams, not crappy teams, playoff teams. If that's the case, then that's Daryl Bevel's job, and it should be. Which, if he can instill confidence and ownership in the players, make it lighthearted and fun again, I mean, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? But if they can go 5-0 and beat all those teams and make a playoff appearance, I mean, does it take an actual victory to get him the job? That remains to be seen. But I think given the talent defensively that we have against the quality of opponents that we have in the upcoming 4 weeks, if they can do that, I think that says a lot about him. I think when watching the Bears game, it's abundantly clear that the offense is not the issue. It's always been the defense. They're slow, just not aggressive. But you did see something that happened under Corey Unlund in the second half that didn't happen the beginning of the season, and that was adjustments. You saw more blitzes. You saw more zone blitzes. You saw a lot more zone packages as opposed to just running strictly man. And offensively, you saw the playbook get opened up. And it, you just have to ask yourself, did Matt Patricia really put his stamp on this team, says we're doing it my way or the highway?
I mean, everything you read and everything you hear sound like he's kind of an egomaniac, and that's kind of the way it was.
Yeah, and ironically, Braden Combs, who has been and a stellar special teams coach for us this season, said he thought he had his worst coached game of the season, and that include one block field goal, which is huge for this Lions special teams group. So, I mean, that I'm not holding my breath because we play against Aaron Rodgers this week in Detroit, and lucky for me, I've got Aaron Jones starting against this Detroit Lions run defense. If you remember week 2, we absolutely gashed them, and it's playoff time, so we'll see what happens there.
If it was me, he'd go for negative 8 yards and 2 fumbles.
Shut your mouth, Jordan. It's going to be the brother-in-law bowl this week, and I need to win it. But, you know, this Detroit team, it's interesting. It's tough. I mean, you want them to tank to get a better draft pick, but at the same time, if you're one game out, like, let's try and win some ball games here and see what happens. And I think, like I said, I think if they go 5-0, they make a playoff run, or even make it into the playoffs, I think you have to strongly consider Daryl Bevel. Because he took a team that was Matt Patricia's that showed no promise, no anything, and he turned them into a winner over against very good teams. So it's going to be an interesting next 4 weeks. Now I say that, and we could get the tar absolutely beat out of us this week. Against Green Bay, and then that puts that to bed. But you hear about names. Robert Saleh is continually getting brought up. Some Michigan legislators wrote to the Lions for whatever God-known reason to recommend him for coach. He definitely seems to be the media favorite, the local favorite, and even starting to sound like some of the player favorite to get to Detroit. Now, if you watched last night's Monday night game against Buffalo, it didn't look good. Buffalo, Josh Allen absolutely gashed them all game, but it's also Josh Allen. But you're going to have games like that. So, I mean, I think as in the social media day and age, we're just so critical of every little thing that we just – 1 minute somebody's going to be the savior, and then the next minute they're the heel of the year. So
I just don't know if I'm sold on another defensive minded, never been a head coach.
You see, and I'm with you there on the defensive minded coach. I think the way the NFL is trending, defense doesn't matter as much. You had a Pittsburgh team last night who is very defensive-minded, and it's good offensively, but it's very defensive-minded, and they got beat by a Washington football team that has been extremely streaky all season, and it's down to their third-string quarterback. So, I mean, there's so much ups and downs, but I'm with you. I want an offensive-minded coach because they seem to do better with the personnel we have. I think if you get a defensive-minded coach, I think that means you're going to see a pretty quick rebuild coming. I think if you get an offensive-minded coach, I think we're going to say, hey, this is the pieces I have, and I'm going to make it work. And the chatter's still out there about Stafford being let go or being traded. If he gets traded next year, there's a lot of dead cap the Lions are going to have to eat. And I don't think that's the direction they need to go. I think you let him ride it out in the sunset, and then if you get a year or two down the road and it doesn't look like it's going to work, then maybe that's when we get rid of him. But right now, after what we saw this past Sunday with Stafford, I think you got to keep him. So it's interesting, and I'm one of them that's riding this roller coaster, because next week I'll get on here and I'll say Darrell Bevell needs to be let go. So, I mean, it just comes with it. But yeah, with this past season, you see what Matt Patricia's brought, and then you see one day of an open window and it seems like a complete fresh of breath air. I mean, I think you have to, if they continue to win, I think you have to give Bevell a look.
Okay, so we did a little bit of a game last week. We're going to do a new game this week, and I didn't even tell you about this because I just thought of it. Mm. You have your choice of these three guys, and it's only these three guys.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Tony Dungy, Jim Harbaugh, or Darrell Bevell?
I say Tony's out. I would say Bevell, given the current personnel. He already has a rapport with the guys. He already knows his guys, as opposed to bringing in somebody completely new and trying to create his own team. I think you could see that maybe not creating issues. But I think right now, if you gave me those three, I would take Bevell. Just because of the relationships he already has existing with the team. Now, if it was a completely different situation and it were to come down to those three, I would probably take Harbaugh.
Because I don't think your hopes and dreams of Joe Brady or Eric Bieniemy are going to happen.
I don't think they are either. I think Joe Brady's probably got another year in Carolina. I think Eric Bieniemy's probably destined either for the Jets or the Texans job.
I would go to the Texans.
See, I would go to the Texans too, but then you got to think about it. The Texans don't have any draft capital.
But it's the Jets.
But you could take a completely new team and completely turn it into what you want it to be with Trevor Lawrence.
I don't know.
We'll see. But, yeah, but this week, Lions against the Packers. Aaron Rodgers comes to town. Packers, by all means, look to be the second-best team in the NFC. It's going to be an interesting game, especially if we can't get healthy. Crosby went out with a ankle injury, I believe, and then we actually brought in, I can't remember his name, but he actually had been playing D-tackle for us. And he played right tackle and handled Khalil Mack just fine. So I don't know what that means. You take from it what you will. But going into this Green Bay game, I think if we can pull off the victory, I think that more adds more fuel to the fire for a Darrell Bevell team. It's going to be interesting. I mean, you've got Davante Adams. By when he's on, he is on, and he is a god in the NFL when he's on. And you have Aaron Rodgers, who you just can't touch. So it's going to be an interesting week, not getting my hopes up, but I think we can be competitive, and more than anything, if the guys are out there just having fun, I don't know. It makes this Lions fan happy.
I guess time will tell.
Yeah, amen.
We'll know more Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. Sunday by about 4:30. If you pay attention to our social media page, you'll see my reaction.
Yeah, so I think with that, do we have more, or are we going to wrap this up?
Nah, I don't have too much more. Fantasy football playoffs for some leagues are starting this week, so good luck. Set your lineups accordingly. Yeah, I don't have too much, man. Just again, thank you guys for listening to us.
Yeah, so we are going to take a little break for the holidays. Did we say that next week?
Yeah, next week we're going to record, and then the week after, the 2 weeks after, between Christmas and New Year, we're going to take time off.
Okay, so you'll have us next week, and then after that, we'll be a couple weeks off, but we will be back after, so just a little forewarning.
Yeah, we ripping ready to go for 2021. Holy crap.
Right? Yeah, thank God. 2020 can't get over soon enough. All right, so with that, thank you guys again for listening and hanging out with us for an hour. Hope you enjoyed what you heard. If you didn't, come back again, and maybe you'll like it next time. Please like us, follow us, share us, rate, review, subscribe, all that stuff. Anything and everything you can do on social media always helps. And then my number one thing is tell a friend. You know, tell somebody that likes sports to give us a listen. Maybe they like what they hear and they tell a friend and we can grow a little bit. Thank you again to the Watershed Voice. If you have not, please go check them out. They are great for all your local information that you need, political, sports, with your boys, economics, everything going on in the local community. They are the one to hit up. So with that, I think, Lane, anything else, or should we shut
up? Nah, man. Like I said, again, thank you guys for listening to us another week. Give Watershed Voice a look. More than anything, stay safe, take care of each other. And let's appreciate the little things in life right now. With the holidays and everything, it can get a little crazy. Everything right now is a little tumultuous, but just take a step back, enjoy the little things in life. And with that, go green.
So yeah, well, I'll add on one thing with that. I always listen to the one adage that no matter all the crazy twists and turns in life, there's always time for a beer. So at the end of your day, if everything's hectic and your life's a little stressed, just sit down at the end of the day, crack open a beer, and just enjoy the moment.
Amen.
Go Blue!